गौर चंद्र की जय। Today we are celebrating the very holy festival of the appearance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. The Shastras describe how Krishna, in his original form, appears in a beautiful golden complexion in this age of Kali Yuga, and is worshipped along with his associates through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. As Krishna appears, similarly, his original expansion, who is utterly non-different from himself in the spiritual world, Balaram, appears with him. Brajendra Nandana Jai Sachi Suta Hoilai Say Balarama Hoilo Nitai. The son of the king of Braja appeared as Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Balaramji appears as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Balaram's position in the spiritual world is he is eternally the original servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is declared to be the original spiritual master of all living beings, because it is Sri Balaram who teaches all the world how to worship and love Krishna. That Balaramji appeared as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Srila Lochan Das Thakur has prayed, Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nithai Gaura Chandra. Of all the great incarnations that are described in the scriptures, there is none so merciful as these two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. The difference between the Leela of Vrindavan and the Leela of Navadvip is that they are utterly identical in the same spiritual rasas of pure love are exchanged. However, the Leela of Navadvip, which is enacted by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, is more magnanimous, more merciful, because they are giving entrance into the Braja Leela to everyone and anyone. The only price required is the faith in the holy name of the Lord and the willingness to chant and keep the association of sincere devotees and live a life of devotion. In this age of Kali Yuga, it is an ocean of faults, but by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, everyone and anyone can achieve the ultimate perfection of life through the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Lord Nityananda Prabhu was so full of ecstatic love through his life, and he was distributing that love profusely without discrimination. But in order to understand Lord Nityananda in truth, we must understand Samastayo Satvam Shamishram Nachakala Vikramaha Nayatra Maya Kimuta Pade Hare Anubrathayatra Surasurarchita.
In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The kingdom of God, or the atmosphere of the Vaikuntha nature, which is called Tripad Vibhuti, is three times bigger than the material universes and is described here, as also in the Bhagavad Gita in a nutshell. This universe containing billions of stars and planets is one of the billions of such universes clustered together within the compass of the Mahat Tattva. And all of these millions and billions of universes combined together constitute only 1/4 of the magnitude of the whole creation of the Lord. There is the spiritual sky also. Beyond the sky are the spiritual planets under the names of Vaikuntha, and all of them constitute 3/4 of the entire creation of the Lord. God's creations are always innumerable. When the leaves of a tree cannot be counted by a man, even the leaves of a tree cannot be counted by a man, was a negative energy. And without a negative energy, there cannot be an activation to make it positive. It's so much word jugglery. In other words, it's not that something can be created out of nothing. Something had to be there to activate reality in its primordial stage. And how, at the very beginning, all this energy contracted into one point that is called singularity, and then somehow or other it exploded and manifested creation of so many different planets, and so gradually so much life and so forth. But then he told me that this is basically the conclusion of the most high sophisticated scientists throughout history. This is the culmination of all of their knowledge. And he said they are all simply speculating, because nobody knows. It is all just ideas. But by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we know exactly what happened at the very beginning of creation. It's being told to us right here. We don't have to read any of these speculative science research books and get your mind completely filled with negative energy and be singularly situated in ignorance of the self. It's better to just hear as Brahma. We find at the very beginning of creation, from the lotus flower that was sprouted from the navel of Sri Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Lord Brahma is born. Lord Brahma hears the two syllables tapa. After he goes searching to try to find out what is his existence. Brahma was the original speculative scientist. He was, by the power of his own mind and the power of his own senses, he was trying to figure out where I'm coming from, who I am, where I am, what is the past, what is the present, what will happen in the future. He was facilities to enhance his pastimes. And then, but still, in the spiritual world, Krishna is known as Vrindavan Chandra, which means he's the moon of Vrindavan. There's no need of moons with spots. There's the spotless moon of Shamsundar, giving pleasure to everyone. And then the friends, the gopas, Sridhama, Subal, Stoka Krishna, Madhu Mangal, Arjun, and all these wonderful cowherd boys, they meet him and they go into the pasture grounds with cows. And then at a certain time of the day, they bring the cows to Jamuna and they all sit down and take out their tiffins and start having nice prasad. And everyone is anxious to see, what did Mother Yashoda prepare for Krishna today? That was always a great, great anticipation in everyone's hearts, because they wanted to see how Krishna would enjoy. And Krishna's enjoyment is always to give them their remnants, so everyone enjoyed. So in this way, they would take prasad together and they would joke together, and then they would go back to taking care of their cows. And then when evening would start coming, they would bring all the cows back to Nandagaon. Krishna would, in Nandagaon area now, there is a tree called Terakadamba. Krishna would climb up on that tree, to the top of the tree, and he would call the names of all the cows. He had 900,000 cows. And yet, he would just call a name and every cow would hear it's her own name. That is Krishna's power. If we call Gorgopal, then Gorgopal hears. But Gorsundar thinks, why he's not calling me? Why he's calling Gorgopal? But Krishna has the power. He can call, and every cow hears its her name. And, oh, Krishna's calling me. Just like Krishna, when he was in Ras Lila with gopis, every gopi is thinking Krishna's dancing of anyone, even if they are as great as Lord Brahma. And the more great scholars and scientists try to figure out what is this material energy, how it is working, why it is working, the more they become confused, the more they become bewildered. The greatest bewilderment is when you think you know something, but you do not. It is the beginning of knowledge when you realize you're a fool, you don't know anything. Because then you can turn to an authority and say, please instruct me, I do not know. But when you think you know, you are really in the most difficult situation of ignorance, because there's no hope of you inquiring submissively from anyone. This is called false pride, mayaya paritta jnanam. We think we know, but our intelligence is simply stolen by illusion. Every parent has the experience that sometimes the child is doing everything all wrong, but they think they know better than their parents. So what can the parents do? It's very frustrating. So similarly, Krishna, he has given us all good instructions through guru, through sadhu, through shastra. But the so-called academic and educated men and women, they think they know better. They think they can come up with a higher understanding. And therefore, so many speculations, so many theories, so many hypotheses, so many books, so many departments of education. And the more they increase, the more their pride increases, and the more illusion and confusion increases. Just like the simple example that is often given, if you start from a certain point and you want to go to a destination, but you are going in the wrong direction, then the longer you go, the farther you come from that, from your destination. There is no purpose to maintaining this wretched body if there is no love of Krishna within it. Why have you done this?
Why are you trying to preserve this wretched body? Nityananda Prabhu, this was his mood. Because he met those materialistic people, he felt that just by their association, he was deprived of love of Krishna, and he wanted to give up his life, because there's no reason to live without love of Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu said, "My Lord, the very person that you're punishing, Advaitacharya, is the very person who brought you to this world. You are the only hope and the only life of his life." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I am going somewhere. You do not say anything to anyone about what you have seen or where I am. If you do, just wait and see what I do then. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas were in great fear. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Nandan Acharya's house. Nandan Acharya worshipped Lord Chaitanya with so much love and devotion. And they all night long they just spoke about the pastimes and teachings of Lord Krishna. At the end of the night, he told Nandan Acharya, "Please get Srivas Thakur." He ran to get Srivas Thakur. Lord Srivas was so happy. He said, "Please tell me, how are all the devotees? And how is Advaitacharya?" He said, "How are all the devotees? The way you left the house, nobody knew where you were. We didn't know whether you were alive or dead. All the devotees, they cannot sleep, they cannot eat, they are just weeping and crying, totally in depressed in separation from you. And Advaitacharya is simply immersed in an ocean of..." Real brahmachari doesn't mean you're not married. A real brahmachari is one who is very, very carefully trained in the principles of Krishna consciousness in that ashram. Similarly, a real grihastha is a person who is very carefully trained in the system of that ashram. And if you're properly trained as a brahmachari or properly trained as a grihastha, that at a certain stage of your life, it will be natural to be properly trained as a sannyasi, perhaps, if that is the desire of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada emphasizes very carefully the necessity of quality spiritual training. And really, that is the very essence of Varnashram Dharma. Whether one is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas, everyone requires very careful, high-quality spiritual training. If they want to make spiritual progress according to their vocational or spiritual order of life. Srila Prabhupada was very much concerned that that quality spiritual training be inaugurated within our movement so that we can all make the very, very best of our lives in Krishna consciousness. To create such a society, such a culture where people are genuinely humble servants, surrender to the will of the Lord, whether they be men or women, young or old, according to their guna or karma, whatever their occupation or whatever their status of life may be. We should all be united in a spirit of devotion and service. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasano Das. Who actually loved him and loved Krishna,
He wouldn't just hire professional Bhagavat Katha reciters. He had genuine devotees who were humble and sincere and surrendered to the Lord around him when he would wake up chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead. Surrounding his bed, Hare Krishna. And then he would take his bath, mark his body with the tilak, chant the names of the Lord, perform the puja of the Lord, give charity to the Brahmins and the devotees of the Lord. His whole life was simply pure devotional service, although he was leading the kingdom of mankind. And how did he raise his children? Great personality. He had a daughter, you know, her name was Devahuti. He raised his daughter so perfectly according to the Vedic principle of Krishna consciousness. She was a princess. He protected her so carefully so that no one could exploit her. Throughout her whole life, nobody could even look at her with their eyes with the desire to exploit. This is how kings protected their daughters in those days. Even for those who have gone to the Jaipur Yatra with us, we saw the wind palace where there's these little windows with these carved stone lattice work, where you, if your eyes are right next to it, you can see through it, but otherwise you cannot see through it. So these were Vaishnav kings in Jaipur. They were actually the ones that protected the deities of Vrindavan. They worked so hard to go to Vrindavan to get these deities to come to Jaipur to protect them from Aurangzeb, the great Mughal ruler.
In personality of Godhead, whatever you desire, you must do. Who can possibly challenge your supreme decision? I am your servant. You are always my master. I must accept whatever you desire in your life. But please, please discuss this topic with your other devotees before you make this move. Lord Chaitanya said, thank you, Nityananda Prabhu. Thank you. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to discuss with others. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu, although externally he could not say anything, internally he became numb. He started to think, my Lord is going to become a beggar. My Lord is going to shave his head. His beautiful black hair will be no longer. He will become a renunciate, a sannyasi. Such a harsh and cruel life. What about Sachi Devi, his mother? How will she survive? Lord Nityananda Prabhu, thinking about Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya's widowed mother, how she would pass her days in the agony of separation from the only reason of her living, to serve her beautiful son Nimai, he fell unconscious. When Nityananda Prabhu came back to consciousness, he went to a secluded place, and thinking of the sufferings that Sachi Devi would endure, he cried and cried and cried. He could do nothing but cry. Just after Sankranti, or Makara Sankranti, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Katwa and he brought Nityananda Prabhu with him to help him perform the ceremonies. After the sannyas ceremony, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, along with Chandrasekhar, began to travel to Vrindavan. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu knew the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That although it was
Brahma, couldn't understand. She's my little child. How is it? She was not willing to accept the reality that the entire universe is within him. So she placed Krishna down in a nice little comfortable place. Because that day they were having a nice ceremony. Because it was a year after Krishna's appearance. There were so many guests that were coming. And Yashoda Mai was actually, at that time, she also wanted to perform her daily household activities, which were all for Krishna. So she placed Krishna down and began to perform her seva. Then this terrible demon came into Braja. He was a mystic yogi. He had tremendous powers. He assumed the form of a whirlwind. He was blowing so hard that he created complete darkness in all of Vrindavan. There were so many particles of dust flying in the air that no one could even see the closest thing to their eyes. When this ended, he was making terrible sounds. You know what ferocious winds sound like? How fearful they are? It's really very, very not like that, I'm sorry. Winds are fearful. I do it and you all laugh. That's the difference. I am not a great mystic yogi. So it was terrible winds and terrible sounds. It was so fearful. What was Yashoda Mai's first thought? Where is Krishna? She couldn't see anything anywhere. But she was just running here and there trying to find Krishna. Where is Krishna? She wasn't concerned with her own life. She wasn't concerned with her property. She wasn't concerned with anything but the safety of baby Krishna. She was going here and there and everywhere with her hands, trying to find, where is Krishna? But he was nowhere to be seen. He looked at this. He was so happy. The deities are getting such a wonderful, wonderful feast of so many succulent preparations. He said, just give me a little rice, maybe some sabji. Nityananda Prabhu took the whole thing and gave it to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Mountains of prasad. Lord Chaitanya said, how will I eat this? Just give me a little. Advaitacharya said, I already know how much you can eat. At Govardhan Puja in Vrindavan, how much did you eat there? This is nothing. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu looked at it, and he was in a different mood. He was transcendentally always humorous, Nityananda Prabhu. He said to Advaitacharya, we have been fasting for several days, and you have made such a small, meager quantity of prasad that it appears we're going to have to fast again. All of what you have prepared is not fit to even fill a particle of my belly. Advaitacharya said, I am just a poor Brahmin, and you are an avadut. You should accept, as a beggar, you should accept whatever the Brahmins give you and be grateful. So they started to eat. And every time the bowls were a little down, Advaita would fill them up and fill them up. Lord Chaitanya would say, please, don't give me any more. Meanwhile, Nityananda was saying, I might as well just not even eat, because there's not enough. What is the use of eating when it's not going to fill me? Then he took rice and threw it on the floor.
and it bounced off the floor and hit Advaita. And Advaita began to dance in ecstasy. He said, because I have touched the prasad of a madman, I have become mad. What he meant is mad in ecstatic love. He called him a reject Paramhamsa. All loving, joking words. In the spiritual world, there is joking. Just like in this world, there is joking. But it is of a different quality. It is all to increase the ecstasy of love of God. It is all expressions of love. Then Sachi Mata came, and she requested Lord Chaitanya, please, my son, do not go to Vrindavan. It is so far away, but the same Krishna of Vrindavan is living in Puri as Jagannath. Go there. Then I will hear your news. I will hear your wonderful pastimes, because it is like two rooms in the same house, Navadvip and Puri. So on the request of Sachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya decided to make his residence in Sri Jagannath Puri in the province of Orissa. During their travels, Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, Mukunda, Damodar Pandit were traveling with him. Lord Chaitanya came to a river, and he told Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you please hold my sannyas danda while I take my bath. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, what is this ekadanda? Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from the Mayavad school of Shankara, because that was the most popular school of sannyasis. So it would give credibility to his preaching of Vaishnavism. The Advaitavads, when they take sannyas, they hold one danda, which symbolizes that everything is one. There is one God, there is one truth, and we are all that truth. But the Vaishnavas carry three dandas. It is called Tridanda, which indicates the body, mind, and words of a living entity are dedicated to the service of the Lord, because we are the eternal servants of Krishna. That is the difference between the Ekadanda and the Tridanda. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu didn't like to see this Ekadanda, so he broke it in three pieces and threw it in the river. Also, he was thinking that there are four stages of sannyas. In the lower stages, you hold danda. But in the Paramhamsa stage, there is no need for the formalities. So he was thinking, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't have to follow these formalities for ordinary people. So away with this danda. Then Lord Chaitanya went to the Kapoteshwara Mahadev temple, a beautiful Shiva temple, just outside of Jagannath Puri. And he asked Nityananda Prabhu, give me my danda. Nityananda Prabhu said, there is no danda. Where is the danda? You were in some kind of ecstasy and you fell down and the danda broke and it went in the river and I don't know where it is. Lord Chaitanya was internally very happy with Nityananda's love. But externally, he wanted to show that a sannyasi should keep his danda. It is a regulative principle. So he said to Nityananda Prabhu, I will not go to Puri with you. You go ahead or you go behind, but I'm not going with you. So Nityananda Prabhu and the others said, you should go ahead, my lord. We cannot go before you. So Lord Chaitanya started walking. He came to Kamalapur. There he saw the beautiful chakra on top of Jagannath temple. He bowed down with great love. He went into Puri. There in front of Lord Jagannath, he fell unconscious in ecstatic love. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya helped. The name of that river, that Lord Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda is called the Danda Bhanga Nadi. It is still there today. In fact, when we go on our Jagannath Puri Yatra, with the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and especially Lord Nityananda Prabhu, we will all take our baths in Danda Bhanga Nadi. It's a beautiful place, such a beautiful place. You'll never be the same if you go to that place. Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Puri. Shortly after, he decided he wanted to take a trip to South India because he wanted to deliver the inhabitants of the southern provinces of India by inducing them. And he was successful. Millions and millions of people became purified Vaishnavas, perfecting their human existence. When it is heard with the proper attitude from the proper sources in parampara, is that it gradually purifies our heart. Srimad Bhagavatam describes Nasta Praesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya. That one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is non-different than the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the postgraduate study, according to our acharyas. So we should hear regularly. It is like medicine. The more we hear, the more realizations and purification comes about in our consciousness. Sri Charitamrita is potent with all the mercy of Lord Chaitanya himself. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, sailing across the ocean from Calcutta to New York City, there was terrible, terrible storms, high waves. He was suffering from seasickness and heart attacks. He wasn't even able to eat. And he was all alone. There was no proper doctors or anyone to help him. But he writes in his diary, while he was in this condition, he said, my only solace is the nectar of reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was experiencing directly Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unlimited mercy through the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So every day we have Srimad Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada tells us, read my books every day. Sometimes we may think that I really don't understand what I am reading very well. And my heart is so hard, I cannot appreciate. But like the chanting of the holy names, the hearing of Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, these great... I care about these illusions. Why should I put any attention or concern in these illusions? Let me just be a staunch devotee. Let me just be renounced in this way, that you're not this body, I'm not this body, so why should we talk to each other? It's an illusion. Why should we care about each other? It's an illusion. It's all Maya. This is a type of Mayavad, impersonalism. Either extreme is counterproductive to spiritual progress. What we find in the lives of the great acharyas, how they spiritualized
the natural human propensities that we have. In a pure, uncompromised form, Krishna consciousness is the natural way that civilization is meant to live happily. Therefore, all the same human loving expressions that are there are expressed according to the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, with Krishna in the center. Sachi Mata did not know that Lord Chaitanya was God. She just thought he was her little beautiful golden child. And she was a great devotee. Now you may say that she gave so much parental affection to her baby because he was God. Therefore she wasn't in Maya. But if I give affection to my son, it's Maya. But actually, Sachi Mata was exemplifying a perfect devotee, and she didn't know her son was God. She loved him as God. In the sense, all the love of her soul for God was being expressed. But still, she cared for him, but with that spiritual principle in its most intense degree. So similarly, a mother, still just by breathing, are insignificant compared to Kaliya. And he came to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. Not only to kill Krishna, to kill everybody. In fact, he did! The cowherd boys and the calves, the cows, they drank the water from his lake and the lad died. Instant death! He was successful. He put this poison in the lake because he wanted to murder everyone. The lake looked like nice water. It didn't look black. It looked very clear. But the most deadly poison was within it. We have to be very careful what we want to enjoy in this world. Sometimes it looks very nice, very nutritious, but it is poison. It kills the inclination for spirituality.
So the cowherd boys, gopas, and cows, they drank the water and they died. Krishna cast his glance on them and they all woke up from their death. This is the power of God. Then Krishna jumped in the water from a famous kadamba tree, which we will see in Vrindavan, still there. And Kaliya came out to kill Krishna. He had all these terrible hoods. Fire was coming out of his mouth. And he started biting Krishna. Hare Krishna. And Krishna jumped on his head and started dancing and dancing and dancing until his skulls were so, all of his hundreds of skulls were so beaten down by the soft little tiny lotus feet of Krishna. The Braja gopis were thinking that the softest part of our body might give pain to Krishna's feet because his feet are so soft. They used to cry thinking of Krishna's feet touching the little tiny pebbles of Vrindavan. It may cause him pain. But for those feet, which were lotus feet that were so soft and so pleasing to the devotees, were like thunderbolts to Kaliya. As he was dancing, the devotees were enjoying like anything watching him dance.
You just continue on no matter how many obstacles. Krishna will save you and make you a success in your mission.
So Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj, and so many descendants, but at a certain point, after Maharaj Prachini Barhishat, a great king who became a surrendered soul to the mercy of Srinarada Muni,
there was no more descendants of Maharaj Uttanapada. So Svayambhuva Manu personally went to the top of that mountain and requested Priyavrata, "I know you want to be a renunciate. No doubt, it's very nice. I gave all my blessings to you. But there's a need for a king, and we require you. So you please come down and be king." Priyavrata had no inclination at all. He was very happy living in Narada Muni's brahmacharya ashram in the top of the mountain. He had no inclination at all. But Svayambhuva Manu, he was not asking because of some attachment. He was asking because of his love for Krishna and his love for his son. He understood this service must be done. It's a valuable service to Krishna. It's his desire. And ultimately, the perfection of life is to put aside our own personal desires for the higher desire of Krishna. So Svayambhuva Manu was preaching in this way. However, it wasn't easy because Narada Muni was on one side and Svayambhuva Manu was on another side, and they're both Mahajans. And it said, Mahajano yena gatasa panta, you have to follow in the footsteps of Mahajans. So here's two Mahajans. One's a renunciate and one's a grihastha. One's encouraging you, go on hearing and chanting in the renounced order of life, and the other is saying, perform your seva in pure devotional service with your wife and your children and be a king. So you have to follow in the footsteps of Mahajans. So which Mahajan? It's a difficult situation. So, just to make the vote,
want higher forms of material pleasure, there is the process of sacrifice by which giving in charity, performing pious activities, doing various kinds of yajnas, you can actually attain great, great opulences and riches, much power within this world. But actually, however wealthy, however powerful, you remain miserable. Because there are three sufferings within this material existence that are present everywhere. Ariatmaka, aridaivaka, aribhautika. Miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by other living beings, and miseries caused by the higher powers or natural disturbances. Whether you are a king or a beggar in the street, you will suffer these threefold miseries, and really there is very little difference. A beggar in the street is begging for some chapati, and he eats the chapati, and he's satisfied. And the king, living in his beautiful, beautiful palace, is served the most luxurious foodstuffs on golden plates by beautiful servants and maidservants. But if someone insults him, he's in so much anxiety he cannot eat one morsel. So he cannot even enjoy to the degree of the beggar. So really, elevation through piety does not bring much greater happiness, because the threefold miseries are everywhere, for everyone. And death can strike and take everything away from us at any given moment. So the Vedas declare that why frustrate yourself by performing religious activities for the purpose of material acquisition? It is certainly better than being sinful, where you incriminate yourself in terrible, terrible miseries. Some people are ignorant, and they look around and see that people are engaging in so many terrible irreligious activities, and they appear to be happy. But if we understand the science of how this world works, they may be happy due to past pious activities, but whatever they are doing now, they will have to suffer atrociously for. So we should not be impressed or
Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. That even a moment's association with a great devotee of the Lord can open the doors to liberation. Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahura Vimuktaris, Tamodwaram Yoshita Sanghi Sangam. But by associating with worldly people, the doors to deeper and deeper bondage and ignorance open wider and wider. Who we associate determines what destination we achieve within our life. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved spiritual master, he traveled around the entire globe 13 times in a matter of 12 years as the foremost ambassador of the innermost truths of Sanatana Dharma. He traveled throughout the world to practically every major city, declaring the true teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And just by seeing him and hearing him, people's entire lives were transformed. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, we have seen so many yogis performing miracles. Can you demonstrate to us a miracle? Srila Prabhupada's reply was that to make gold is not very important. I can give you a gold ring, or you can go to the jewelry store and buy a gold ring. I can give you some ashes, or you can make a fire and make your own ashes. I can give you an apple, or you can go to the market and buy apple. These are not real miracles. I can heal you from your sickness and disease, or you can go to the doctor and get some medicine and be healed of your sickness and disease. But here are people who were addicted to illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, who were wasting their lives miserably without an understanding of truth or God. And now they are living pure. Now they are constantly addicted, not to drugs and to sense gratification, but to glorifying God and service to God. Now, wherever they are going, they are inducing everyone they meet.
Growing and growing and growing. Actually, generally, the slaves were not even allowed to marry. If the slave master wanted them to have children, just like a bull and cows, they would just say, you have sex with this woman, you have sex with this woman, you have sex with this man, because you're both strong, we'll get good, strong children to be the next generation of slaves. There was no marriage, practically speaking. So sometimes we think, oh, America's the land of the free. It's the land of the free if you're from a particular color skin, a particular race, a particular religion. If you're not, it's not. In those days especially, of course, we're supposed to be wanting to be like the slaves for Krishna. So if it's properly placed, this slavery, it's very good. But when some cruel man who just wants to exploit you and abuse you for their own sense gratification, utterly hellish life. So after the Civil War, the northern states defeated the southern states. Abraham Lincoln was the president at the time, and he was completely against the slavery. He considered all men are created equal, and any American is a citizen, and they all have equal rights, man, woman, children. And the Southern said, if you touch our slaves, we will destroy you. They are our property. We treat them as I like. So ultimately, that and other reasons as well, it became a war. The entire United States was cut in half. The southern states was called the Confederates, the northern states was called the Union, and they had a massive war. More people were killed in that war than practically any other war in the history of the United States. Millions and millions and millions of people were killed in that battle. The most terrible war. Because sometimes a family. The brother would be living in the southern states, the other brother would be living in the northern states. And because they accepted the ideology of their particular location, brothers were fighting against each other. Sometimes brother, sons and fathers were killing each other on the battlefield. Friends, relatives, cousins, best friends.
Everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation, and matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. The material body is developed because spirit is present within matter. A child grows gradually to boyhood and then to manhood because that superior energy, spirit soul, is present. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation of the gigantic universe is developed because of the presence of the super soul, Vishnu. Therefore, spirit and matter, which combine to manifest this gigantic universal form, are originally two energies of the Lord. And consequently, the Lord is the original cause of everything. A fragmental part and parcel of the Lord, namely the living entity, may be the cause of a big skyscraper, a big factory, or even a big city. But he cannot be the cause of a big universe. The cause of the big universe is the big soul, or the super soul. And Krishna, the supreme, is the cause of both the big and small souls. Therefore, he is the original cause of all causes. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovididati kamam. All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Hare Krishna. I am very happy to be with all of you this evening. Especially would like to thank my very dear, beloved friend, Anil Agarwal, or as we know him as Aniruddha, for allowing us to have this opportunity to come to this auspicious home and to be with all of you to discuss this most beneficial of all subject matters, the highest and purest truth of God. He would lovingly embrace them and fill their hearts with love. He would personally feed them prasad with his own hands. In this way, these children, they became completely transcendentally saturated with the perfection of life. They were liberated from all sufferings, from birth and death. They attained the highest position of the soul's evolution of unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Even 100 adults could not hold down one of these little children from their kirtans. They became like wild lions, just dancing and chanting. Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Then he went to the house of Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das was worshipping his deity of Bal Gopal. Lord Nityananda Prabhu had Madhava Ghosh sing beautiful songs about the Dankeli Lila of Krishna. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu was dancing very nicely. This Gadadhar Das, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda's, he was so empowered.
Lord Nityananda Prabhu cast his glance of mercy on Gadadhar Vyas, and he just became a fearless preacher. In that same village was a dangerous Qazi who hated Hindus. In fact, this Qazi was so violent that any Hindu who saw him would run for their lives. If the wind that touched him touched a Hindu, they thought they lost their caste. He was very, very cruel, and he hated any public performance of any religion other than his own. So one night, Gadadhar Das was just loudly chanting the holy names, and he ran right into the Qazi's house, chanting and dancing. The guards of the Qazi didn't know what to think of this. It was impossible that someone would do like this. They didn't say anything. Now, he had a wife whose name was Lakshmi, and she was very, very chaste and very devoted, and worst of all, very beautiful. And I will explain why that is worst of all. So when Ramanujacharya and the devotees arrived at the house, Lakshmi Devi offered her obeisances. She was so surprised. Why such a great soul is coming to our house? And she welcomed them with so much devotion, and she welcomed every devotee with so much devotion. And after greeting them, just according to proper etiquette of bhakti, she said, "Please go to the river and take your bath. And after you take your bath, I will have nice prasad for you." So they all went to the river, and she went into the kitchen. And they were so poor, there was not even one single grain of rice in their whole house. So she was thinking, what to do? Guru Maharaj has come with his devotees. We must serve them all wonderfully. So she began to think. And she remembered there was one very, very wealthy merchant who was a sinful rascal. And he was always attracted to the beauty of Lakshmi. And he was always wanting to enjoy her. And he used to send female messengers offering her jewels, offering her precious metals, offering her beautiful, beautiful silk saris and all sorts of other cloth, offering her huge amounts of money if she would just come and allow him to enjoy her beauty. And she would never speak with him, she would never look at him, she had absolutely nothing to do with him, because she was satisfied with her husband. Her husband had nothing, but he was honest, he was sincere devotee. And she understood that this is real wealth, to have the association of a devotee. So on this day she was thinking that my husband, I know how much he's dedicated to his Guru Maharaj, Ramanujacharya. And if we cannot serve him nicely, then what is 400 people to Krishna consciousness? But only 3 are remaining? That is not the best service. Our first service should be to inspire, enliven, and sustain those who have come. And our next service, which should be performed simultaneously, is to attract more to come. It is not like cycles where you, like this, it should be more and more and more. That is what we have learned from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And
the previous acharyas whom he has so mercifully represented. We are not a personality cult. We simply worship Srila Prabhupada as our founder acharya. We worship him as our founder acharya with the knowledge that he has so perfectly and purely presented the conclusions of our previous acharyas. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada is giving us what they have so mercifully manifested within this material plane. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name has descended from Goloka Vrindavan, Narottam Das ke sang. And we understand that these great souls have embodied this principle and inspired the world to this principle, to chant Harinam and live by the pure principles of devotion. So it is our life to accept this gift and to assist these great souls in giving this gift to our congregation of devotees, our ashrams of devotees. Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Nrsimhadev with full attention and complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in the family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to say of me? I am not at all qualified." Om Agyan Timidandasya Kenanjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militham Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. On this most auspicious day of the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev, we are here reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. At the time of Lord Narahari's most divine and extraordinary incarnation in this world, he fought with Hiranyakashipu and he killed him. This story we will narrate in more detail this evening. But even after killing Hiranyakashipu, and after destroying all the hosts of warriors of the Rakshasa dynasty, still Lord Nrsimhadev was extremely angry. Anger in this material world is one of the most contaminating of all qualities. Anger is born of unfulfilled lust. But in spiritual life, all of these qualities have its perfection in Krishna. All joined the kirtan, and there were tens and thousands of them, perfectly liberated in love of God, chanting Krishna's holy name.
Vrindavan Das Thakur says, with thousands of mouths for thousands of years, no one could describe the types of pastimes that Lord Nityananda Prabhu performed in Saptagram. There, one of his most dear intimate associates named Udharanadhat was living. And with Udharanadhat, he was just inducing everyone to chant the holy names. Even the Muslims of Saptagram, they were so influenced by the beauty and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they were dancing in ecstasy. They were chanting the holy names of Krishna. Tears were gliding down their beards in ecstatic. Their limbs were trembling. And even the high-class Brahmins were thinking, we have no devotion to Krishna compared to them. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was not sectarian. He understood beyond all racial, religious, caste, or any other consideration, every living being is essentially, eternally the servant of Krishna. All these temporary designations should not get in our ways. Today in India, there is so much conflict between different religions, between different races, between different castes, between different income brackets, between different educational brackets, between so many conflicts, different political parties. But Lord Nityananda understood that there's one thing we all have in common. Essentially, love of God is dormant in everyone's heart. And it can be awakened in everyone through the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Next, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, on his mission of preaching in Bengal with his associates, they approached Shantipur. There they met Sri Advaitacharya. Sri Advaitacharya is the avatar of Mahavishnu. When he and Lord Nityananda Prabhu met, they embraced, they danced together, they sang together, they praised each other with so many beautiful words of intimate affection. Lord Advaitacharya told Nityananda Prabhu that you are the very reservoir personification of love of God. All the mercy and powers of Lord Chaitanya is working through you to deliver all living beings within the world. After enjoying wonderful kirtan for some days in Shantipur, then Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to Sri Navadvip Dham. He first went to the house of Sachi Devi, and he fell at her feet. When Sachi Devi saw Nityananda Prabhu, who she loved like her own son, she began to cry. She said, "What is impossible for you, who are the super soul of all living beings? As the Paramatma, you knew my innermost desire. I was longing to see you, and you came." Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "Actually, I was longing to see you, so I have come." Sachi Devi greeted him with such loving hospitality, and she prayed, "Please, Nityananda Prabhu, stay for 10 days at least, or 15 days, or 1 month." In this way, Lord Nityananda Prabhu completely satisfied the heart of Sachi Devi, who was suffering the pangs of loving separation from her own son who had taken sannyas, Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu just started going from house to house all over Navadvip, just having kirtans. He and his associates, the same associates we already described, they were just dancing and chanting through Navadvip. And any people who Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not induce to accept love of God and chanting Harinam, Lord Nityananda reached out to them. It was a grand festival throughout Navadvip. Everyone was calling out, "Nityananda Prabhu has returned. Let us go and join his kirtan." He was going to each house, whoever they may be, without discrimination, and inducing them all to Krishna Bhakti. throughout the streets of Navadvip, which was suffering due to the separation of Nimai Pandit, there was the loud, joyful roaring of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Nityananda Prabhu did not know anything except Sankirtan. Day and night, he just performed Sankirtan. He knew this is the Yuga Dharma. For those in the most neophyte state, they will become pure devotees through Sankirtan. For those who are atheistic sinners, they will become pure devotees through Sankirtan. And for those who are pure devotees, they will reach higher and higher levels of ecstasy through Sankirtan. For everyone, all classes of men, the supreme occupation is the loud chanting of the holy names of Krishna. There was a very poor Brahmin who was a great devotee of the Lord. His name was Hiranya Pandit. He had no possessions, but he had a small house. Lord Nityananda Prabhu decided to stay at his house with his associates. Day and night they were performing Sankirtan. Meanwhile, in Navadvip, there was one Brahmin who, due to bad association from his very childhood, he became very, very sinful. And as he grew a little older, he became the king of all dacoits. Hare Krishna. And he lived in Navadvip. And he secretly was associating with Lord Nityananda Prabhu because he saw that Lord Nityananda was wearing very costly jewelry. He was wearing bangles and ankle bracelets and necklaces and pearl necklaces, and he was wearing costly silk turbans of different colors. So he was thinking, at the right moment we will steal everything from him by any means. So he had a band of thieves, and he approached them. He said, "This Nityananda Prabhu, you should see the jewels that he wears: gold, silver, emeralds, rubies, coral, pearls. So many beautiful necklaces and so many ornaments. It is Goddess Durga's mercy upon us. Because we're thieves and we're looking this house, this person, that person. All the wealth we could ever want in our lives are on one person. Just see how we have pleased Goddess Durga, and she's so merciful. She's giving us everything we want in only one place. All we have to do is kill him and rob him. So get your weapons and sharpen them. Tonight we will attack." So meanwhile, they waited till it was dark, because when it's dark, it's the best time for thieves. And they sharpened their weapons. Each one of them had 5 to 10 deadly weapons. And they sent a spy to check what's happening at the house. The spies came back and said, "Lord Nityananda is eating prasad, and all the devotees in the four directions are loudly chanting the holy names." So the thieves decided, "We will wait until they go to sleep, then we will attack." So they sat there. But do you know what Lord Nityananda Prabhu did? He sent the goddess of sleep to where they were. And they all went to sleep. they slept so nicely that the sun rose. The crows started making their songs. Cawk, cawk, cawk. And they woke up. It's light. It's morning. What happened? They looked at each other. And one person said, "You fell asleep first." The other said, "Well, you were sleeping more soundly than me." They all started arguing and fighting and blaming each other. But the king of the thieves, he spoke. He said, "It is because Goddess Durga is not pleased with us. We should first offer a sacrifice to her. Then we should attack. Tonight we will offer sacrifice. We will offer meat and wine to the goddess." So they did their yajna, their puja. They offered meat and wine to the goddess. And then they sharpened their weapons. And the spies told them, "Everyone is sleeping." So they came to the house. But what did they see? Hare Krishna. They saw these big guards, so many of them. Each one was bigger than a mountain. They were huge, gigantic bodies and holding weapons, garlands going down to their knees. And each of them was chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari." And the thieves were thinking, any one of them could annihilate all of us put together. What are we going to do? So they had a secret meeting. They thought, what is this? Maybe this Nityananda is some sort of a incarnation that he just manifests all these big people. But the king of the dacoits, he said, no. Some king or great person must be seeing him, and they are his bodyguards. Within 10 days, these guards will leave. Then we will attack. So some days later, the spies informed the thieves that the guards have left. So they did their pujas. They sharpened their weapons very nicely. 5 to 10 weapons each. There was clubs. There was axes. There was knives. Daggers, swords, choppers, and whatever varieties of terrible things that kill people and torture people. They had them all. And it was pitch dark that night. They were thinking, this is the perfect arrangement. Everything is just according to our desire. And they went running to the house. And just when they came to the house, every single one of those dacoits became totally blind. Their eyes didn't work anymore. Hare Krishna. When their eyes didn't work, they didn't know where they were going. One of them fell into a ditch, broke his limbs, was stuck in the ditch, could not see anything, and then mosquitoes started biting him. And then leeches crawled all over his body and started sucking his blood. Hare Krishna. Another one of the dacoits, he fell into a garbage ditch. It was stool and urine. Decomposed, garbage. And then scorpions and mosquitoes started stinging him and biting him. Another one of the dacoits fell into a whole ditch of thorns. They were so sharp, like razor swords. And every one of his limbs was being stabbed by thorns. And if he tried to move any part of his body, it would just stab deeper in him. And meanwhile, the mosquitoes and the leeches and the scorpions were biting and stinging. Another one of the dacoits, all of a sudden, in his blindness, he just fell to the ground with a high fever and was burning and burning. He could not even exist any longer. another dacoit fell into a canal. And every one of his limbs, his hands, his legs, everything was broken to pieces. He was just laying there screaming. And they couldn't see. They couldn't get out. And then Indra was very angry with these dacoits because they wanted to harm Nityananda Prabhu. He sent big dark clouds. It started raining, torrents of rain, pouring rain like buckets on these men. And they were just laying there, being ripped by thorns and eaten by insects and high fevers and stool and urine and torrents of rain. Then it became freezing cold. They were trembling. Then the rain turned into hail. And there were these big ice balls just flying down at high speeds, crushing their limbs. And they were just screaming in pain, helpless, unable to see what was even happening. At that time, the leader of the dacoits began to think that Nityananda Prabhu is not an ordinary human being. He must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, how are all these things happening? How we fell asleep? We never go to sleep at night. How is it those big guards? We have never seen guards like this. And now we're blind, we cannot see, we're being tortured, there's rains, there's hail, there's freezing cold, there's insects. It is because of my sins. He's so merciful. He's trying to purify me of my sins. He's trying to give me the treasure of real spiritual life. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is all merciful. I surrender my life to Him. I beg forgiveness. I will give up my sins forever and be your devotee. Please forgive me. Oh Nityananda Prabhu, please forgive me. He started crying out in words of utter humility, "Oh Nitai, please forgive me. I deserve this punishment. I deserve more punishment. Give me whatever you want. You can punish me. You can deliver me. But birth after birth, just let me be your devotee. Whether you kill me or rescue me, I don't care anymore. Just let me be your eternal servant. I surrender." When he offered these prayers from his heart, Nityananda Prabhu, who was in everyone's heart, he sent all the clouds, the hail and the rain away. It became nice and warm. All the mosquitoes and leeches went away. The thorns went away. And they could again see. And they all looked around, completely bewildered. Then they went to their homes. They took their bath in the Ganges. But the leader of the dacoits, after his bath in the Ganges, he went right to Hiranyapandit's house, where Nityananda Prabhu was sitting amongst his devotees having kirtan. He fell at the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. "Give me, please let me be your servant." Some of the devotees in the room knew this was a cruel dacoit. They thought he must be making this show as a pretension just because he wants to steal from Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I am a Brahmin of Navadvip. I have lived in this land of Navadvip, the holy city, all my life. But since my birth, I have been cruel. Due to associating with terrible people, very materialistic, I have murdered Brahmins, I have killed cows, I have robbed, I have stealed. I have done every possible sin imaginable. I deserve so much punishment and hellish suffering. And let me tell you the worst thing I ever did. With sharpened weapons, I wanted to harm you and steal your ornaments. But the first night we fell asleep, And the second night there were these guards. And last night I suffered cold and thorns and insects and hail and blindness. And I realized that this is all your mercy. This is all your love. This is the way you are dragging me out of my sinful life back to a pure life of devotional service. My Lord, I surrender unto you. I just want to serve you birth after birth after birth. Please forgive me. Lord Nityananda Prabhu lifted him up and embraced him. He began to weep tears of ecstasy. His limbs began to tremble. And he was constantly jumping up and down with his arms raised, chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Lord Nityananda Prabhu said to him, "Sin no more. You are forgiven. If you give up your sinful activities from this day on, I will take the karma of all your past sins on myself. You are free. You live a life of devotion. You constantly chant the holy names. And you go. You go to all the other criminals and dacoits and thieves, and you preach to them. And you bring them to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name. You give them Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And somehow induce all of them to take the name of Krishna."
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus feet on top of the head of this dacoit. The same feet that even Lord Brahma, Shiva, the demigods, the great rishis, they have such difficult time through lifetimes of penance to attain. Lord Nityananda Prabhu placed them on the head of this murderous dacoit and gave him Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Krishna Prema. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. Anyone who hears this story will soon achieve pure love of Krishna. That thief followed Lord Chaitanya's order. And he just traveled around to all the other thieves and dacoits. Most of them would come to him because he was their king. And he made them all devotees. And soon there was big, big dacoit sankirtan parties. They all became gentle and humble and saintly and honest and self-controlled, compassionate servants. Actually, that thief said to Lord Nityananda, he said, "Please give me permission to commit suicide for the offenses I have made to you. Let me drown myself in Ganga." But Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, you chant Harinam and you preach. You are forgiven." So this all happened during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Navadvip. But there was one Brahmin. And he was living in Navadvip, and he became very confused seeing Lord Nityananda Prabhu because of all the beautiful ornaments he was wearing. He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So he left Navadvip and he went to Jagannath Puri. And one day he approached Lord Chaitanya and said, "I am your servant. I have surrendered my life to you, but I have a terrible doubt in my heart that's tearing me apart.
please, let me present my doubt to you. He said, Nityananda Prabhu is an avadut. He's supposed to be a very renounced Vaishnava. But when I see him, I don't understand. He wears such costly silken clothes and beautiful turbans, and he has necklaces with jewels like diamonds and emeralds and coral, and he has bangles and he has pearl necklaces and ankle bells of silver and gold. Such opulence. Why would a simple renounced Vaishnava dress like this? And also, he goes into the house of outcasts. He goes anywhere and everything. I have no faith in him. I do not understand. Please explain to me. Lord Chaitanya said, please listen very carefully. Nityananda Prabhu is the Supreme Personality of God. He is a great personality. He is taking the role of the greatest of all devotees in this incarnation. And great personalities, they cannot be judged by our material perceptions. What is the limit of his compassion? You cannot understand. But he is a great soul. He is above all rules and regulations as you know them. He said, if an ordinary being or even an advanced soul tries to imitate Nityananda Prabhu, he will be ruined. Just like if someone tries to imitate Lord Shiva by drinking poison, he will be destroyed. Similarly, if someone tries to imitate Krishna by performing Ras Lila with ladies, that person will be condemned and destroyed. Shiva and Krishna are supernatural, supreme persons, as is Nityananda Prabhu. Even great devotees, we should never offend them. What to speak of Nityananda Prabhu? Let me tell you a story. Listen carefully. Lord Chaitanya began to narrate. From the Srimad Bhagavatam we learn that Devaki, she once approached Krishna and Balaram and said that I have heard the news that you have brought the son of your teacher Sandi Mahapani Muni back from the abode of death as Guru Dakshin for them. You are the all-powerful personality of Godhead. You control time itself. You control death itself. You can do anything. If you could bring back the son of your dead teacher, the 6 children of mine that were killed by Kamsa, I want to see them. My heart weeps and longs to see my babies that were taken away at birth. Please bring them to me. Lord Krishna was so pleased with his mother that he said, I will get your children. He went to the abode of Bali Maharaj. When Bali Maharaj saw Krishna coming, he was so excited. My Lord, my worshipable object has come to bestow mercy on me. Bali Maharaj washed his feet and praised him with so many beautiful prayers. He said, how can I serve you? Give me an order. Any command, I will fulfill it. Lord Chaitanya said, my mother, Devaki, had 6 children. At birth, they were killed by Kamsa. Let me tell you why. Because there is a great, important lesson behind this. These 6 children were the grandchildren of Lord Brahma. One of Brahma's children is Marichi. Marichi had 6 sons. They were beautiful, peerless demigods.
in very, very exalted positions. But one time, by the arrangement of inconceivable providence, the arrows of Cupid happened to afflict the mind of Lord Brahma. And he did not do anything wrong, but he approached his daughter with sensual desires. And of course he stopped. But just that he did that, the six sons of Marici, they saw this activity and began to joke about Lord Brahma. Because they joked, they ridiculed, they criticized a great devotee of the Lord, even though he appeared to be doing something wrong, because they did not understand his exalted position and they criticized him. They fell down from their demigod positions and they were born in the house of Hiranyakashipu. Hare Krishna. In the house of Hiranyakashipu, due to the torments of Indra's thunderbolt, they died. And they took their next birth in the womb of Devaki. And upon being born, they were killed ruthlessly by Kamsa. And now they were living in the lower planets under the authority of Bali Maharaj. So Krishna told Bali, see how terrible it is, how dangerous to offend a great devotee. Even if a great devotee does something that appears we cannot understand, if we criticize them, we will fall and we will have to suffer. Krishna said, even if you are a demigod, you will have to suffer. Then Krishna told Bali, I will take these six sons to Devaki, and when they drink the milk from Devaki's breast, they will be liberated and returned to their original position. So Krishna brought the six sons. And Devaki was so happy to see her little babies again, because she was a mother. Even if you're a great devotee, a mother is still a mother. A mother has love for her children. Before Devaki sent Krishna across the Jamuna to Gokul, she first fed him with the milk from her breast. Therefore, that milk became Mahaprasadam. Years later, while living in Dwarka, Devaki's breasts had long dried up. But when these children came, her parental affection was so great, they again filled with milk. And she fed the Mahaprasad that Krishna had personally drunk. And when those little infant babies drank it, they became completely liberated and they became exalted to pure devotees of Krishna. Then they saw Krishna after drinking the milk and they bowed down at his lotus feet and surrendered to him. And Krishna said, now you must go to Brahma, you must fall at his feet, you must worship him, and you must beg forgiveness of him. And never try to judge or criticize a great devotee with your material minds or senses. Understand the gravity of this offense and always remember me and you will go back home, back to Godhead. They returned. Lord Chaitanya told this story to this Brahmin and he explained that even if you are chanting the holy names every day, even if you are following all the regulative principles, even if you are performing great, great tapasya and austerities, if you criticize Vaishnavas, you will have to suffer. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Then Lord Chaitanya began to glorify Nityananda Prabhu. He chanted a wonderful verse, which Lord Chaitanya often chanted. He said, even if I see Nityananda Prabhu holding the hand of an outcast woman and going into a wine shop, I will know that he is still worshipable even by Brahma and Shiva, and I will honor and worship him. Lord Chaitanya again said this verse, even if I see Lord Nityananda embracing an outcast woman and residing in a place where liquor and wine is being drunk, still I will know for certain with full faith that even the great gods and sages like Brahma will worship and honor his lotus feet. Because Nityananda Prabhu, whatever he does, is done out of pure love and compassion to uplift the fallen souls. He has no material desires. There is not a tinge of material inclination or ego in his heart. He is completely pure. His inconceivable behavior is his mercy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. By taking sannyas, he was able to preach to the highest classes of society. But as a sannyasi, there were many people that it was against his ashram to reach out to. Therefore, he told Lord Nityananda, you should marry. Lord Nityananda never formally took sannyas. He was avadut. But Lord Chaitanya in Puri told him, you should marry. And you go to the most fallen, the most degraded. You don't worry. You give them all Harinam. You give them all Krishna Prem. After Lord Chaitanya exalted the wonderful glories of Nityananda Prabhu, this Brahmin had complete faith in Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who has faith in Nityananda Prabhu, I will give all my mercy. Anyone who loves Nityananda loves me. Anyone who criticizes Nityananda criticizes me. Anyone who hates him hates me. Anyone who serves him will get all of my mercy. Anyone who serves the servant of Nityananda Prabhu becomes more dear than my very life, and I will give him everything. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. The Brahmin went back to Navadvip, chanting the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu was in Navadvip. And whatever he desired, he would do it. Because his desires were so transcendentally pure. So while in Navadvip, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, I want to see Lord Chaitanya now. So he told his associates, let's go to Jagannath Puri. So immediately, they started traveling down the roads from Navadvip to Puri. And we all know what they were doing. Nityananda Prabhu only did one thing. He danced in transcendental ecstasy and induced all of his followers and all people around to loudly chant the holy names. When Nityananda Prabhu and his associates came to Kamalapur and saw the chakra, they bowed down. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew Lord Nityananda has come. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, just by coming into Jagannath Puri and knowing he was in the holy dham where the Lord was residing, he became so much in trance of divine love. Lord Chaitanya personally came to that place and he fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu and worshipped his feet, began to offer beautiful prayers to Nityananda Prabhu and circumambulated him again and again with tears of love flowing from his eyes. Then Nityananda Prabhu somehow came out of his trance, and he and Lord Chaitanya began to embrace, bathing each other with their tears, rolling on the ground in ecstatic love to be reunited. They danced and they chanted. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Lord Nityananda Prabhu that you are devotional service personified. Krishna resides in your heart. And whoever sees you, whoever touches you, whoever serves you will achieve love of Krishna. The ornaments on your body are the incarnations of devotional service. In the form of silver and gold and diamonds, emeralds, rubies, pearls of all sorts. The nine processes of devotional service have incarnated in the form of your ornaments just to decorate your body. And anyone who sees these ornaments will get the mercy of bhakti. You are always decorated by pure unalloyed devotion. Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied, "My Lord, you ordered me to wear all these jewels. You told me to do it, so I am doing it. I do not understand. To Advaitacharya and all the other devotees, you have ordered them to perform tapasya, live a simple life, and perform devotional service. But to me, you have ordered me to be wearing bangles and bracelets and necklaces and all sorts of bells on my ankles and nice turbans with jewels in it. But my Lord, I am your dancer. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance any way you want me to dance. I am most fallen. If you want to punish me, or if you want to reward me, you are free to do anything you like. I will do anything you like. I am your eternal servant. You are my eternal master. Just let me serve you forever, in any way you please." Upon hearing these sweet, nectaring words of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya again explained, You are the very personification of Krishna's love. Through you, the whole world will chant the holy names of Krishna. You are ornamented only with the incarnations of pure bhakti. And whoever sees you, your beautiful form will achieve Krishna. There is no one more dear to me, Lord Nityananda, than the servants of your servants. Then, after this wonderful meeting, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya went to a secluded place together. And there they shared, in the most confidential forms, the wonderful katha of Krishna and their great love for each other. Then Nityananda Prabhu went to see the beautiful deity of Jagannath. When he went to the Jagannath temple, he began to roar like a lion in ecstasy to see Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath. It is explained, one day Lord Nityananda decided to, he was in such love, in the mood of Balaram, he wanted to embrace his brother Jagannath. So he just started rummaging to the deity to embrace him. And meanwhile, the pandas and guards in Puri are very famous for keeping the regulations. So what? So the biggest of all the guards, he went to stop Nityananda from embracing Jagannath. And he went to put his arms around Nityananda, but as soon as he touched him, all of a sudden, he was just thrown back long way and fell on his back. What happened? Then he realized that Nityananda was Balaram himself. And the next day he went to apologize, and Nityananda Prabhu embraced him and gave him Krishna Prema. So when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was seeing Jagannath, after long separation, he was dancing and chanting, and all the pujaris were so happy to see him again. They started bringing him garlands and mahaprasad and so many wonderful gifts. Nityananda Prabhu again was back in Puri. One day, he decided to visit Gadadhar Pandit, who was living in the Yamala Gardens near the ocean side. Gadadhar Pandit worshipped the deity of Tota Gopinath, an ancient form of Lord Krishna. He worshipped with such devotion. Gadadhar Pandit was the incarnation of Srimati Radharani. So on that day, Nityananda Prabhu was so much longing to see Gadadhar, he came to his house and said, "Gadadhar, please, I have brought first-class rice from Bengal with me, and I have brought some nice red silk cloths. Please offer them to Tota Gopinath." So Gadadhar Pandit was so happy. He said, "I will offer them." He was sitting there reading Srimad Bhagavatam when Nityananda came, and he got up and greeted Nityananda Prabhu. How much Gadadhar Pandit and Nityananda Prabhu loved each other. They tried to touch each other's feet, but each was preventing the other from succeeding. They were embracing each other and crying and constantly chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit began to cook. Such a master cook. He began to cook a sabji out of tamarind leaves. Then he decided to cook saag, but there was no saag. But then the saag came. So he cooked saag. And he made the rice. And he offered it to Tota Gopinath. Just as the offering was being made, along with the silk cloths, Lord Chaitanya appeared on the scene. Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar were so happy. Lord Chaitanya has come. They bowed down. Lord Chaitanya was in a very pleasant mood. He said, "I have come. Nityananda Prabhu has brought the rice. Gadadhar Pandit has cooked it. Tota Gopinath has eaten it. And I have come to take my share of the prasad. You did not invite me, Gadadhar Pandit. But I don't mind if you didn't invite me because I have come anyway." So Gadadhar Pandit was so happy that he took the wonderful rice preparation and all others from the altar of Tota Gopinath. Lord Chaitanya said, "Make 3 plates, we will eat together." Gadadhar, Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya sat together to take prasad. And Lord Chaitanya just started praising that prasad. He said, "This sabji with tamarind leaves, it is unparalleled in its flavor. And this saag is so extraordinarily delicious. And this rice, just to look at it, just to smell it, just to taste it, anyone who experiences this will get pure love of God and go back to Godhead. Gadadhar Pandit, I know what you did. You cooked this prasad in Vaikuntha." In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Gadadhar were praising the glories of the prasad and eating prasad and constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. now almost 10:30 at night. Somewhere in the world, it's 10:30 in the morning. But somehow we are here by the causeless mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So there is so much more to say. Who could possibly comprehend the glories of Nityananda Prabhu? I will just tell one more short story. By the order of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu married the two daughters of Suryadas Sarakela, Janava Devi and Vishuddha. From Vishuddha, he had two children, a daughter named Ganga, who was actually the incarnation of the river Ganga, and a son named Birbhadra, who was an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. And these two spread the glories of pure devotional service far and wide. Vasudha left this world at a young age, and Janava Devi became the mother of these children, and she raised them with great, great devotion. She trained them in the principles of bhakti and initiated Virbhadra. Janava Devi became the most exalted leader of all Vaishnavas after the departure of from this world of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They based in Kardaha Gram. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us one very precious memory from his own heart, how he received the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He explains that he lived in a little village in Bengal. And one time, one of the very intimate loving associates of Nityananda Prabhu, of the name Minaketana Ramdas, came to visit that village. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, he had a temple. And the pujari in the temple was doing the puja for the deity. Meanwhile, Minaketana Ramdas came into the temple. Minaketana Ramdas was a person who was an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. He got many glances. So he was a very transcendental person. Sometimes if someone bowed down to him, he would jump on their back and slap them with his flute. But he was always absorbed in the mood of a cowherd boy, chanting and dancing. But he was very serious and grave in how he would preach the highest Siddhanta of the Vedas. So when he came to the house, the pujari went on with the deity worship but showed no respect in Minaketana Ramdas. Now we should know very clearly that if we worship Krishna but we disrespect his devotee, he will not accept that worship. Lord Chaitanya has said, to worship me but to disrespect my devotee is like touching the feet of a Brahmin then hitting him on the head with a stick. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami saw this. Minaketana Ramdas understood that this is not an offense to me. This is an offense to my master, Nityananda Prabhu. Because they have no faith in Nityananda Prabhu, they are treating me like this. So he left that place. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami approached his brother and began to glorify Nityananda Prabhu. But the brother said, I have complete faith in Lord Chaitanya, but I do not have faith in Nityananda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, to have faith in Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda is like the philosophy of half of a hen. A man who thinks that the front half of the hen is eating and taking so much profits away, but the back half of the hen is giving eggs and making me so much money. So I'll cut the hen in half and throw out the half part, and I'll keep the bottom half. And then I'll make money, but I won't have to invest anything. But if you do that, you kill the hen. You get nothing. Nityananda Prabhu is the most intimate servant of the Lord, and you cannot worship the Lord without loving His servants. So he chastised his brother. And Krishnadas says his brother fell down because of his offense. But Nityananda was pleased. And that night, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a beautiful dream. He had a bluish form. His eyes were rolling, intoxicated with love of God. His teeth were red like pomegranates. And he was holding a stick with a beautiful turban. And he was rocking back and forth saying, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami saw Nityananda Prabhu in the beautiful role of a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And he worshipped him. Then Nityananda turned to him and said, Krishnadas, go to Vrindavan and all your desires will be fulfilled. Then the dream came to an end. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was very old. He had no money. As soon as he woke up, immediately, he just started walking to Vrindavan with complete faith in the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. When he reached Vrindavan, he attained the shelter of the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and especially Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. By the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, he sat and listened to Raghunath Das Goswami for many hours every day describing the wonderful glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the order of Nityananda Prabhu and the Vaishnavas, he was empowered to write the most important of the historical and philosophical presentations of the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami considered him a disciple of Nityananda Prabhu and gave all credit to Sri Nityananda Prabhu's mercy for the great service he did for all of humanity. Similarly, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of the original biography of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, was personally a student and a disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. And it was he that ordered him and empowered him to understand the inner depths of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings and present them for the great benefit of all the world. Srila Prabhupada explained that it is only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that the Hare Krishna movement is reaching the hearts of so many people fallen in this age of Kali Yuga. We must pray for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. One time when Srila Prabhupada was installing deities of Gorni Thai in Atlanta, Georgia, he started singing this beautiful song, Paramakaruna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gorachandra. And he became so overwhelmed with ecstatic love, thinking of the mercy of Lord Nityananda upon all of us, that he went into a trance. He was so choked up, he was completely silent for several minutes. Then he looked at the deities, and remembering the mercy of Lord Nityananda and seeing how that mercy is delivering so many souls, he becomes speechless. He could not continue his class. He told the devotees, chant Hare Krishna. When the devotees saw Srila Prabhupada's great love and worship for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, they realized that Srila Prabhupada was the very embodiment of that mercy, and it has come to deliver all of us. Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy is sublime. He has come to forgive us from all our sins, from all our previous lives. All we have to do is live. Live with sincere desire and efforts to be pure. Be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. And most of all, take the mercy of the Lord by always chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki
Jai.
Hare Krishna. It is now time for Sandhya Arti. This is a special Sandhya Arti. But remember Nityananda Prabhu's kirtans for 3 months. Not even a break for prasad. In that spirit, let us celebrate the glorious mercy of Lord Nityananda upon us by making him happy. Who knows what makes Lord Nityananda Prabhu happy? Dancing with great enthusiasm, with our arms raised, and chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sri Nithai Gaura Chandra Ki. For those of you who want to go down and take prasad now, please go take prasad. For those who want to participate in this glorious